Open your Bibles tonight to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Are you leaving? I prayed that the Lord would remove anything from the service that might hinder. So. Oh, goodness. I told you last night I like to read hymn stories. You'd never know on that faith of our fathers. You'd never know that a bunch of nuns wrote that, would you? They didn't. They didn't. I'm sorry, I couldn't pass that up. Oh, goodness. You have your Bible open to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. I was thinking as they were singing about who would go. As they were singing, I could not help but think about when I was a young preacher. And I would hear Lester Roloff, Lee Robinson, Monroe Parker, on and on and on, old preachers and old evangelists. I never realized, never stopped to think that one of these days they're going to be gone. And the responsibility would be on my shoulders. But now then, I'm 76 and I know that there's just so many years left that I can travel and go and preach and do what I'm doing now, and I'm wondering, who is it out there that God is going to raise up to take my place? To go as a missionary, to pastor churches. And it's important that we realize, every one of us, that God did not just save us and leave us here to be one of 7 billion people on planet Earth. But God saved you and He has a will and a purpose for your life. And I cannot believe that there's not somebody in this congregation tonight that God has planned in His will that they be His preacher, His missionary, His Sunday school teacher. And you listen to me, if God didn't call you to preach, then don't feel like that you're unimportant. To be a Sunday school teacher or a choir member or an usher in a Bible-believing Baptist church is big stuff. Amen. To be a soul winner and a witness and a independent Bible-believing Baptist church, listen, that's no little thing. So don't discredit who you are if God didn't call you to preach. But let me tell you, if God called you to teach or called you to preach or called you to be a missionary, it's no credit to you to say, no, I'm not going. That's turning your back on the planned will of God for your life. And no matter what you accomplish, you're never going to be what God wants you to be until you surrender His will to His will. You're always going to settle for less than the best when God wants you to give your best to Him. So think about that. And every one of you young people, you little ones, younger ones, and young men, you ought to ask God, Lord, what wilt Thou have me to do? And go ahead and surrender your life. So if the Lord says, I want you to be a Sunday school teacher, you've already made that commitment. I surrender. I'm yours. You don't have to fight over it and fret over it. If God called you to be a missionary, that's all right. He's already called you. And you listen to me. Contrary to what some people think today, a missionary is not somebody that can't do anything else. the New Testament was written primarily by missionaries. Think about it. Some of the greatest minds and greatest Christians this world's ever known, God used to write down His Word that we call our Scripture, the divinely inspired, inerrant Word of God. So, every one of us ought to be seeking God's will for our life. God's got a will for your life. He's got a plan for your life. He's got a place for your life. And God's will, God's plan, and God's place is the place of blessing, the place of protection, it's the place of provision, and it's the place of happiness and contentment. That ought to be our chief desires, to be in that place. Because that's where God's going to provide for you. God's going to bless you. God's going to meet with you. If you found your place in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, if you have, stand with me if you're able to stand out of love and respect for the Word of God. And I shall begin to read in verse number 1, and we'll read through verse number 7. The Bible says, "Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the Word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it's hid to them that are lost, in whom the god of this world has blinded their mind, the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts, to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us." Now I want you to go back to verse number 3 and notice the statement. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. I want to talk to you tonight about our hidden gospel. The tragedy of our hidden gospel. Father, help me tonight in these next few moments to be used by you to challenge hearts and lives of these boys and girls and these dear men and women here in your house this evening. I sure do want to be a blessing. I'm not asking for power to preach a great sermon, but I do want the ability, dear God, from you to preach a plain, simple, easily understood message from God that would help your children to seek your will and yield their lives to your will and do what you want them to do. Thank you for loving us and dying for us on the old rugged cross. Thank you for the gospel story, the good news of Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection for our complete forever salvation. And not just to us, but to all who believe anywhere throughout this world. Fill me with thy Spirit. Speak through me. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. You may be seated. Notice our text once again. If our gospel be hid, it's hid to them that are lost. Now, you shouldn't have any trouble understanding that. Every word in that verse is a one-syllable word, except gospel. A one-syllable word. And I want to talk to you tonight about our hidden gospel. Now, our text is filled with very important words. As I said, all of them are just one syllable, except gospel, but they're important. For instance, the word "but," by the way, in the first 7 verses, "but" is used five times. And but shows contrast. And the contrast he's trying to make here is our hidden gospel in contrast to what a Christian ought to be. Our Christian life is not to hide the gospel story. We're to let our light shine. And we're to send the gospel around the world. And then in verse number 1, Paul said, seeing we have this ministry as we have received mercy. The gospel has made a change in our life. Made a change in Paul's life. The Bible tells us what Paul was before he got saved. He was a God hater, a Christian hater, a Christ hater, and a hater of the church. But all the gospel of Jesus Christ changed his life, changed his heart. And thank God it did, because the greatest enemy of Christianity and the church in those days became one of the greatest propagators of the gospel, the greatest missionary and preacher in his day. It made a change in his life. Paul said, we've renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. And by the way, that's what we're to do. We're to manifest the truth. What is truth? Jesus said, my word is truth. So we're to manifest the truth through our life. We're to be witnesses and testimonies to every man. But unfortunately, that's not the case. But if our gospel be hid, it's hid to them that are lost. And then we see the word if. If, this word shows supposition. Is the hidden gospel in your life hidden? Is the gospel hidden, or does it shine forth through you? Do you let people see you walking and living the Word of God? Do they hear you witnessing the Word of God? Or if you were the only way they'd ever know about Jesus, would they ever know you're a Christian just by the way you live, the way you talk? I got into the elevator one time at Harris Hospital, going up to visit a family there, a lady there in the hospital. And I got on the elevator, and there was a black nurse got on with me when I got on. And we hadn't gone a floor until she said, you're a preacher, aren't you? I said, yes, I am. She said, you're a Baptist preacher, aren't you? I said, yes, I am. How'd you know? She said, Lord, I could see the glory. Man, I was glad it was that particular time and that day. But you know, that's exactly what God intends for us to be. He intends for people to see in us the glory of God, the person of His presence, the presence of His person. And the supposition there is that we are Christians too often, and the gospel is hidden. Nobody knows. By the way, at your job, do they know you're a Christian? In your neighborhood, do they know you're a Christian? If our gospel be hid, it's hid to them that are lost. And then there's the word gospel. This is the most important word in our text. The gospel is the good news about Jesus' death for our sins, His burial, and His resurrection for our justification. And then there's that word hid. It means to be veiled, to cover up. It refers to the fact that the unsaved are not able to see or understand the gospel by themselves. The gospel must be shown. It must be explained. It must be demonstrated by Christians. And then there's the word lost. The people who need the gospel the most of them have never heard the gospel. Most of the preaching and witnessing goes on in a country that hears the gospel more than anybody else on the earth. We hear the gospel preached hundreds of times when the greater part of the world have never heard it preached once. Not even once. Lost. Lost. The lost are those people who are unsaved. They're on their way to hell, and we have the truth. We have the hope. We have salvation that's free and finished and available to them. They'll just accept. And then notice the word are. Are is a verb. It's a plural verb, referring to the many people who are living in the present who are lost and going into eternity and to spend forever in hell. Now let's look more closely at our text verse, and I want some answers tonight. I want you to think with me. I'm going to ask you some questions. Question number one, what is our gospel? Now let me allow the scripture to define the gospel. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 1 through 4. The gospel is not Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. They contain the gospel. Here's the gospel defined by the scripture itself. And by the way, it says twice in this passage, according to the scriptures. The scriptures are our absolute truth about God and salvation. The Bible says, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you received, and wherein you stand, by which also you're saved. Now here it is. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. That's the gospel. That's the gospel as defined by the Word of God. The gospel is not good news about church or about a denomination. Now I'm amazed at people that go out promoting a denomination or a church when we ought to be promoting Jesus, who is the essence of the gospel. The gospel is not good news about a pastor or an evangelist. The gospel is good news from God about His Son Jesus Christ, who died for our sins and was buried, and after 3 days and three nights arose from the dead with free salvation and eternal salvation for anyone who'll accept Him as their Savior. The gospel is good news about what God has done in sending His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to die for our sins. The gospel is God spelling out His love for us in the person of Jesus Christ. John 3:16 epitomizes the gospel. It is the gospel in miniature. The gospel is not good advice about what we have to do to be saved, but rather it's good news about what God has already done for our salvation through Jesus Christ. So that's what our gospel is. The second question I want to ask is this: in what sense is the gospel of Christ our gospel or my gospel? If our gospel be hid, in what sense is it our gospel? Paul is speaking to a body of believers. He's speaking to a local New Testament church. In this context, he calls it our gospel. In three other passages in the New Testament, Paul calls the gospel my gospel. Again, let me ask, in what sense is the gospel of Christ our gospel or my gospel? May I say, first of all, it's our gospel and my gospel because we've heard the gospel message. Millions on earth have never heard the gospel even one time. Because we have heard. It's our gospel. It's my gospel. It is our gospel because we have believed it and have received it. There's many churches, even big churches, that you could go to and attend every service and never hear the gospel mentioned. What a tragedy. Churches are hiding the gospel. It's our gospel because we have believed it and we have received it. Because of the gospel, we've received mercy. Because of the gospel, we've experienced the gospel's saving power. Because of the gospel of Christ, I have received peace and forgiveness. I became a child of God. I've been promised heaven as my eternal home. Fear has been canceled. Guilt and condemnation are gone because I heard the gospel and received the gospel and got the benefit from the gospel. Therefore, it is my gospel and our gospel. Because I've received the gospel, it's my gospel. It's our gospel because we who are saved have been entrusted with it. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 4, listen to the word of God. But as we are allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel, even so we speak, not as pleasing men, but God which trieth our hearts. You who are saved have been put in trust with the gospel. God has given it into your hands to proclaim it, to live it, to send it to the uttermost part of the world. God wants your light to shine, and he didn't say he wanted our terror light to shine. It's the light of the gospel he wants people to see. Not just our fashions. He wants people to see Jesus in us. Jesus in us. We've been put in trust with it. Every now and then I get to go to the bank and make a deposit. When I make a deposit, I'm putting my money in trust to that bank. And I'm telling them, you can take it, you can use it, you can invest it, you can make interest off of it. But when I write a check, I want you to honor that check and give my money to what I declare it's for. Now, if I wrote a check and they said, we can't honor this, I'd be down at the bank, won't know why. First thing I'd say is, I trusted you with my money. You've broken your trust. You can't be trusted. Now, I wouldn't go and make another deposit. Well, I want you to know God has entrusted us with the gospel. When the Bible talks about preaching the gospel, it's talking about giving out the good news so sinners can get saved. Are you giving it out? God says, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Are you giving out his gospel or are you hiding it? He's given it to you in trust to tell others about it. Can God trust you? It's our gospel because he's put it in our trust. He doesn't give it to government. He doesn't give it to colleges to give out to the world. He entrusts it to Christians in local churches like this one to shed the light of the glorious gospel across the world. It's our gospel because we have been entrusted with it. Because we're saved, we've been entrusted with the gospel to make it known to the whole world. Now let me ask you, do you feel that you're doing a good job making known the entrusted gospel to the world? Or are you doing as little as you can get by with? I'll be honest with you sometimes. I go week after week. I give to Faith Promise. I witness. I give out tracts. But I go to bed at night and feel like I've done a lousy job. What do you feel about yourself? If the world depended on you, would anybody get saved? It may be that your family is depending on you. Are you doing a good job giving out the gospel to your family? By the way, churches in general are doing a lousy job. We're 10 times further behind in evangelizing the world than we were the day Jesus gave the Great Commission. The population has exploded. And we're sitting in our little churches and our church pews with our hidden gospel. Oh, we're saved and we're satisfied. But God's entrusted to us His gospel. And it's not to be a hidden gospel. It's to be a declared gospel, a proclaimed gospel. Let me ask the third question. How and when is the gospel hidden? Well, first of all, how is it hidden? Verse 4 tells us, the devil has blinded the eyes and the minds of the unsaved so that if they had it to read, they couldn't understand it. The natural man, the unsaved man, understands not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are spiritually discerned. You know the difference between a saved person and an unsaved person? In the unsaved person, their spirit is dead. They have no spiritual understanding. When a sinner gets saved, he's born again, his spirit is made alive. And the Holy Spirit indwells him. And suddenly, he can begin to understand spiritual truth. Now, the ones that have the Spirit of God in them, and they have a living spirit, and they can communicate with God and communicate the gospel, we are to tell those who are dead in trespasses and sin about Jesus and what He's done so they can understand it. So they can wake up. They can have that awakening. I see. I understand. But that's not done because they read a tract or they read the Bible. It's done because witness, a Christian who's been entrusted with the gospel, tells them about Jesus. He explains it to them. Or as they say down in Myrtle Springs, they splain it. It's hidden. The God of this world has blinded the minds of them that believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. They are lost. That's part of the situation of being lost. They can't see spiritual truth. They can't understand spiritual truth until it is explained to them by one who is made alive by the new birth. One who is the Spirit of God dwelling in them. One who's been born again. One who has been saved. You hath He quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin. What God quickened in us was the Spirit that died in Adam. And is made alive in Jesus Christ when we're born again. They cannot see spiritual truth or understand it by their own ability. If it was otherwise, then we could print more Bibles and gospel tracts and just drop them to the unsaved in the foreign lands. That'd sure be a lot quicker and a lot cheaper. Now, I'm not discrediting gospel tracts and Bibles. They are tools for Christians to use to reach the unsaved. You don't want to give me a scalpel and put me in the operating room doing brain surgery, because I don't know a thing on earth about it. And the unsaved don't know a thing on earth about spiritual things, and they cannot know. They've got to have it presented to them by somebody who has been made alive by the Spirit of God and in whom the Spirit of God dwells. Then they're awakened. It's a tool. The Bible is a tool that we can use to reach them. And once they're saved, then they can begin to read it. And they begin to understand some things they've never understood before. And they begin to see some things they've never seen before. But until they get saved, the gospel is hidden to them. And if our gospel be hid, it's hid to them that are lost. It's sad to think, but it's also true that there are those of us to whom the gospel has been entrusted that hide it from those who need it the most, the unsaved. Now, how do we hide the gospel? We hide the gospel when we don't declare it with our lips. We hide the gospel when we don't give to send missionaries around the world. We hide it when we do not demonstrate the gospel of Christ in our own lives. We're to speak it, we're to send it, and we're to live it. In Mark chapter 5, the maniac of Gadara got saved. And all the devils were cast out of him. And he was told not only to go home and tell what great things God had done for him, but in Luke 8, he was told to go home and show. So he was to live it, and he was to proclaim it. We hide the gospel of Christ by failing to defend it. In Philippians chapter 1, verse 17, Paul said, I am set for the defense of the gospel. It's hidden under the covering of psychology, and we need to get rid of that and declare what the gospel is. It's not a bunch of psychological garbage. It's hidden under the cloak of counseling. I'm amazed that preachers spend all their time counseling, but they don't go out and tell anybody about Jesus. It's hidden under the basket of modern theology, which says that man is bad only because of his lack of education or his environment or the fact that he don't have a job. The gospel has been hidden by so many churches in our area that it's like going through shock treatment when you go into a church that preaches the Word of God. When is the gospel being hidden? Right now, today, this day, in churches all over America, and I have no doubt there's Christians who are members of this church that are guilty of hiding the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, from whom is the gospel hidden? Well, the Bible makes it plain. It's hidden from those who need it most. It's hidden to them that are unsaved, to them that are lost. The world is dying under the curse of sin, and we keep on giving the only cure to those who've already been cured. We, for the most part, have already been saved. If not, we've heard the gospel message over and over again and still have done nothing about it. I'm here to tell you tonight, the lost need the gospel. Don't you think they have a right to hear it at least once before they have to face eternity? Oh, my dear friend, we who know Jesus as Savior must live the gospel message. We must tell the gospel message. We must send it around the world so the unsaved can hear it at least once before eternity. I know this, if they never hear it, they're never going to have a chance to be saved. They at least ought to have one chance. Now, what are you doing personally to make the gospel known around the world, here, at home, and to the uttermost part of the earth? Are you hiding the gospel? You've believed it. You've received it. Now, are you hiding it from those that are lost? Are your lips closed about the good news? Let me tell you in closing this imaginary story. There was a son of a great doctor, and he was suffering from a terrible and terminal disease. The doctor tells his son that he has discovered a cure for the son's terrible disease. And he tells his son also that he, the doctor, the father, has the same disease. And he's dying also. Now, as the doctor was breathing his last breath, he tells his dying son about his discovery. And the doctor gives these simple instructions. Take the medicine, and when you're cured, make it known and share it with the rest of the world, because millions are suffering and dying from the same terrible disease. The doctor dies, and the son takes the cure, and it works. He's healed. But instead of sharing this wonderful discovery with the millions who were dying from the same disease, the selfish son hides the healing formula and refuses to share it even with one person. I've told you that story because the truth is, this is exactly what we have done and are doing with the gospel of Jesus Christ in churches and in our lives. Oh, the glorious gospel of Christ could bring healing and salvation to a dying world, but we who have been entrusted with it, we who have enjoyed its saving and healing powers, are doing little or nothing to share it with anyone else. What are you doing about the gospel? Are you declaring it? Are you doing the best you can? Are you doing as little as you can get by with? Are you hiding God's only cure for sin? The gospel has been entrusted to us to tell it around the world. God has declared it to us and commanded us to go. We're to show it in the life we live for Christ, and we're to make it known at home, at school, at work, and around the world, wherever a soul may be living. Remember, it's not the lost person hiding from us. It's the Christian hiding the gospel from the lost world. If our gospel be hid, it's hid to them that are lost. Now, dear friend, tomorrow night, you're going to have an opportunity to make a commitment to God to take the covering off of the gospel as far as you're concerned, to do your part in making the gospel known around the world. Now, while you give to support missionaries, you're also to live and witness here at home, so that unsaved people here can hear and be saved. Every person in here got saved because somebody shared the gospel with us. And now then there's someone else that needs it. And God's put you there to tell them and to make the gospel known. I don't want to stand before God and be guilty of hiding the greatest truth and the greatest treasure ever known to man. There was a Picasso sold today at auction, and it was sold for more, a painting of heads, legs, and arms for $179+ million. But I want you to know, my dear friend, in light of eternity, that Picasso is a piece of trash. The gospel is the masterpiece. And we've been entrusted with it to make it known to the world. Father, that's our message tonight. Speak to our hearts. Help us to ask you, Lord, what would you have me to do? Am I hiding the gospel? Or am I making it known? Am I doing my best? Am I asking you what you'd have me to give? And then am I learning how to witness? Am I giving out tracts? And am I telling people? Am I knocking on doors and personally telling others about Jesus? Speak to our hearts, dear God. What a tragedy to have a missions conference and then do nothing personally about the entrusted gospel, the gospel that's been trusted to me to make it known to the world. Help me to care enough about doing right and obeying you that I'll ask you, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And then make the commitment to do it. Father, there's some people here, no doubt, that you're speaking to about their life and about surrendering it to your will and your plan. God, help them. Help them not to hide it. Help them not to hold back. But help them to yield to you in Jesus' name.